8:15, Galesburg's Morning News. Life in the COVID world, especially when it comes to education, it's so wonderful, so easy this year. And some people, I don't know if they have mental health issues or not, wanting to be involved when they don't have to be in something like that. But
thank you, Tom.
I wasn't talking about you, Joe.
Other
people, right? Good morning, 8:16, Galesburg's Morning News. Joining us this morning, he is the interim superintendent of Knoxville District 202. Well, he had actually retired, and he thought, hey, what a good year to get back in and maybe fill in and help out my alma mater for a year, right?
That was the original thought, yeah.
That was the original thought.
The original thought.
Also, just so people know, that was before we knew this whole crazy thing was going to happen.
That's correct. Yeah, the timing all kind of fell together at the same time. And if you remember way back a year ago, as we all talked, they were thinking that, you know, a month at a time that we would be quarantined and it was going to be short-lived. And by the summer, this would all be past us. Well, that didn't happen.
No. Surprisingly, it just didn't go the way they thought it would.
No.
But so here we are in the COVID world, and like a lot of the schools around the area, Knoxville District 202, second semester underway. You made it through the first one, and I guess the strange thing in talking with you earlier and the other superintendents, it was one thing going into all the quarantine and the distance learning to end the school year last year. You just got thrown into it. Right. No planning was able to go on. Throughout the summer, some planning was able to happen, so it was a little bit different and better going into the first semester of the school year. But still, it's still, no matter what, it's not ideal by any means as an educator.
You know, one of the big fallacies that I'm sure is out there in every local community, and actually, you know, statewide, nationwide, is that somehow educators like doing this. And it's the furthest thing from reality. I've yet to talk to any teacher, any administrator, anybody formerly in education that says, boy, I bet you really enjoy this hybrid model or full remote or back 4 days and getting out early so you can do the full. There's no one that I've talked to says, boy, this is the best thing that we can give kids. I think you have to embrace that reality and then work from there of what your guidelines are with spacing. You and I were talking earlier. That's a huge issue with schools. Every school is a different size. Every classroom, little tweaks, different sizes. So can you fit 10 kids in that room safely? Can you fit 12? Can you fit 18? And each school has its uniqueness. And so when you look at the IDPH guidelines that talk about social distancing at 6 foot, and then you throw into the mix our neighboring states who make different decisions, who their guidelines are smaller. And so you're scratching your head going, man, if I could have their rules to work under. And that's the other thing. The choices boards of education, the choices that administrators are making, choices teachers are making, all stem off of our relationship with health departments and the Illinois Department of Public Health and following those guidelines. And something I really wanted to share today, if you don't follow those guidelines and you have something happen in your district, and it's never a positive thing happen in these type of situations, your legal liability insurance, they're not going to cover it. So then you're putting the entire community at risk in a liability situation by not following the guidelines. And so when it seems like maybe a school or an administrator or someone's going overboard, there's a really a lot bigger picture that school boards and administrators have to look at before they can make those decisions. It's just not, hey, I want to do this.
Well, that's kind of what happened with sports early on with the IHS. They said, go ahead and do what you want. You can do it. But then we had, what, two schools, Lewistown, and who was the other that said, yeah, we're going to play. It was somebody not too far away. But then our insurance carriers say, yeah, no, you're not. Or if you are, we're not going to insure you. So, okay, I guess we're not then. So,
right.
So it falls under that. It's like, yeah, you don't.
Similar with spacing in the classroom.
Right. Right. And like you said, with a public entity, you're talking taxpayer money and that type of thing that's going to be involved in that lawsuit.
Right. So, you know, I really want to make it clear that no one's really happy with any of our, you know, we're making decisions that we were all taught growing up, don't make a lose-lose decision. And that's almost what our hand's been forced to. Now, there have been some silver linings out of it. I've been kind of constructing a paper that I've been sharing with legislators on some silver linings that I've seen that maybe moving forward wouldn't be a bad thing to keep. My favorite is last year at graduation when we did the parade. And so the kids got to drive through town and everybody came out to their porch. And I thought, now there's a tradition worth keeping that we're starting, regardless of whether we're in COVID or not.
Right.
What a neat thing.
Yeah.
Because you and I both have elderly parents, and they're probably not going to go to a high school graduation, but they certainly go out to the porch and wave to the kids, and both being former teachers. Loved it.
So absolutely.
There are some things coming out of this that we can step back and say, you know, that was maybe better than we were doing it before.
Joe Burgess is the interim superintendent in Knoxville District 202. One of the things you mentioned earlier about, you know, educators not being happy about this, obviously, nobody, maybe a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage, but for the most part, nobody got into education that didn't like human interaction.
That's right.
And we crave it.
Right.
You know, and so you want to see the kids. You want to be, and you know, as a teacher or as any type of educator, you can educate them better in person. You're doing the best with what you've got, but the best way to do it is have them there and be able to see them and interact with them.
And we're moving towards that. Our board made some decisions last week that we're going to move to 4 days a week by March 15th. Again, being employers, we're looking at the health of not only our students, but all the people that are employed in the district. The vaccine coming out is a huge lift to allowing us to lessen that social distance, to follow the guidelines.
So at that point, any of the hybrid, any of the those e-learning kids, will that even still be an option?
Yeah, it has to be for the school year.
Okay.
Right. The state board, Dr. Ayala, came out and said we're going to continue that for the remainder of the school year as an option.
Yeah, and because there's going to be parents that no matter, it's like, hey, right, don't feel safe to send my kids, then they want to keep them. Or kids, maybe they have a compromised immune system or something.
Right, and sometimes, you know, we hear from one set of parents that obviously the variance is really wide. You hear some set of parents that want their kids back in, things back to normal. And there are just as many on the other side that still want their kids remote and don't feel safe. So that's a balancing act also when you're trying to address really wide-ranging opinions on a health pandemic that none of us have any experience in.
You know, you mentioned that term back to normal, and of course we all want that, but now what does that mean now? Back to normal is not going to probably look like what normal was. I mean, that's a whole different animal.
That's true. Yeah, the new normal, I guess. And I've always, you know, been accused of my glass is half full. I look at things in a positive way. So if the new normal does allow us to do some things a little bit better, some teaching techniques that we picked up along the way, if we can increase class instruction through e-learning, even though we're back in school 5 days a week, 8 to 3, but some online classes at night to enhance kids, you know, looking at our kids with special needs all the way to our kids that may be in vocational or gifted education, that we can enhance their education with some online things that we learn. So hopefully, you know, the new normal is a better normal for everybody.
Joe Burgess, interim superintendent, Knoxville District 202, joining us here this morning. Okay, so when you are back in, what was the date? Or?
March 15th.
March 15th.
We want to be there.
So for the students that will still be doing the e-learning, will it be a case where they will be involved in class as it's going on?
We're already doing a lot of that.
Oh, okay.
And we're also doing where it's called a classrooms flipped, where the teacher records with the kids interact the next day. So there's a wide variety. And again, it's really just like in-person learning. Every teacher has a little bit of different way of doing it. And if they find that it's working for their class, they're either opening the video up during certain instruction time or they're recording it and the kids can replay it. And that seems to be working well also. But again, it's not the interaction that you can sit and feel the emotion of a child, what they need.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, and I know you guys realize this as educators, that there are a lot of students it's really hard on as well, because I would be one of those, I'm sitting at home, wouldn't do me any good. I would learn nothing because I wouldn't be paying attention. It was hard enough for me to pay attention being in class, let alone with all the other distractions of home and other things I could be doing. That's and it's as an educator, it's tough as well, because you know that that's the case with a lot of students.
Right, and a lot of educators understand students really well because they were that type of learner, and you know exactly what they're going to do. I always felt I was a successful principal because I already knew what they were going to be up to. And same thing with a coach. You know, I felt like I kind of knew how the players felt, and so I tried to adjust to that. One of the neat things, and you're talking about students who aren't doing as well, the board took action. We're going to reinstate summer school. So there'll be 3 weeks of summer school in June. We're putting that together right now. I know it's January, but before we know it, June's going to be upon us. We're looking to hire a response to intervention RTI coordinator and bringing that back to the district. We're looking at those the federal money that's going to be coming in and utilizing that for interventions for students who are definitely struggling, that the hybrid learning model, the full remote model wasn't doing it for them. And we understand we're going to have kids that we have to catch up. And, Tom, there are kids who are actually doing well, if not better. So there's two sides to that, too.
Yeah.
I think there's some students who love this model. And so we have to understand that, okay, maybe we have to keep going with that with some kids also. But we're really focusing on the remediation and catching our kids up. We know there's going to be needs there. There's going to be gaps there. And so we're already putting that together. Says a lot for our board and our community that they understand that, and let's address it while we have, you know, if the federal government's going to hand us grants and money to take care of it. Let's utilize it for the students.
The RTI, is that a counseling type position or more a tutoring type position or a combination thereof maybe? Or
very much a combination. It's a okay. person who goes into classrooms, talks to the teacher. So a teacher has five kids who are really struggling. They'll work with those kids, work with the teachers, put together intervention plans. And it's really a coordination district-wide of using the assets that we already have. And there are kids who maybe haven't qualified as a special ed student yet or are not in Title I. And so let's see what type of intervention we need to do that. And a lot of districts have that type of person, and I think Knoxville is ready to move forward in that.
Joe Burgess, Knoxville District 202 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. Speaking of you, of course, being a former athlete and coach, that's, you know, been another thing that's been really disappointing for a lot of athletes in the state. And now things are opening up. There are some practices going on.
Right.
And the IHSA has got another meeting schedule, I think, for Wednesday again to make some more determinations.
Right.
As far as academically, are the same standards being upheld to be able to play your sport?
At Knoxville, they are.
Okay.
I know there's some – the IHSA is talking about giving lessening some of the standards due to the remote learning, and we're in the process that actually later on this afternoon, as long as Mother Nature cooperates.
Right. Yes. Yeah. There is that.
we're discussing all the things that go with that, because we're supposed to start some practices today, both in the junior high and the high school. And, we hope things don't change. And that's been a huge frustration for our coaches and our athletes, the constant changes that go with it. And, I know you and I loved our time in high school and athletes. I cannot imagine. And my heart breaks for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So some, how many sports do you have that are practicing right now that have started with, are we at
volleyball,
the non-contact right now? Is that
right.
kind of what?
And we're non-contact, but we've been trying to do some weight training and some conditioning throughout basketball and volleyball. They're starting some drills. And I know they talked about football in the spring, so I think maybe some advisement will come out on that. You know, Mike, and I know the kids aren't probably speaking for the kids, they're probably not going to care. They'd play a football game on Friday and turn around Monday and play a basketball game, because we probably did that in the driveway or whatever.
Right.
But we know that's not also good for an athlete. So I'm hoping they don't have to make some really tough choices.
And especially small schools, it's going to be really hard. In some cases, even in the larger schools, it is. But in small schools, I mean, when you're looking at volleyball and girls basketball same time, or football and basketball, or football and baseball.
A lot of the same kids.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of the same kids.
Although, thinking football, as a player, just think of, February or end of February and the field's frozen, your helmet hitting that concrete used to be turf.
That would be like playing on the old AstroTurf that was concrete and then a rug on
top of it. Yeah, that rug on top of it, right. And then it's going to get really sloppy as things start to thaw and melt by the end of that season. So it's
right. Even a nice day would actually be bad because the permafrost would be just a mess.
Absolutely. Right. So, so many crazy things. Well, it could be worse, Joe. You got to consider you could be right now interim or even the full-time superintendent of Chicago Public Schools.
That's right.
So it always could be worse. So glass half full, right?
I will let you know, Tom, I would not have applied for that job.
Okay. Just checking.
Just checking, right?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's been crazy. And I appreciate what you're doing, all the superintendents, administrators, the teachers as well. I know. Everybody's doing the best that they can with the situation. It's a little bit different in every district. Every district trying to do what's best for their district. Every administrator and board trying to do what's best for their district. And you know, like you said, you're getting it from all sides with parents. Well, we should be doing this, or we want this, or my kid needs this. And the other parents said, no, we don't need that. My kid needs this. And so I know it's not easy, but I guess some of that's just that's being an administrator and a board anyways. You hear things like that anytime.
Right. It's just throwing a pandemic into it, and there's no guideline or book on how to do this. And so we've really been building the airplane while we're coasting through the airways. And so I think there'll be a lot more information in 100 years from now if this happens again. Let's hope it never happens again. But history of the world tells us that every once in a while, this is going to come around. We just happen to be the generation to get to deal with it.
Absolutely. Anything else have been District 202 you'd like people to know about, or anything coming up?
Sure. I really want to put a plug out for our industrial tech and our FFA group. They're working together for next year to increase the science and technology learning and those groups working together. I think that's great. I don't know if you've seen on Facebook how our music program, whether it be chorus or band, have been doing little performances and little snippets of performances. I think that's great. And I think those I was talking earlier, those little things should continue. I think that's really neat to have some live performances for people to see. So, there's a lot of good despite what's going on in the COVID-19 world. There's a lot of good kids are still able to do a lot of great things, and we can't wait to get them back.
Absolutely. Joe Burgess, interim superintendent, Knoxville District 202. I don't know if we may have you in again before you're gone. I know your replacement has been hired, but we may force you to come back again.
Jeff Schoonover is the superintendent at Cornell Grade School right now, and he'll be he and I know each other, which I think makes a transition a lot easier. We've talked about some days already and getting through this, and I think he knows former Superintendent Wilder pretty well. I mean, we all kind of know each other, so that makes it a little bit easier. I've told the board I'm committed to making that transition, making his time here, but because I'm vested in if he succeeds, it makes me happy. My hometown succeeds.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's just kind of crazy. Like, I don't, you know, even like Joe Sornberger, although he came from Southern Illinois, had the Rova connection. And so, definitely. And then, of course, John Aspin, Rova connection, also taught at Knoxville. Right. Jeff Whitsitt, United, Knoxville grad. Right. I mean, he taught at Rova as well. Yeah, so it's just a big, it's a big fraternity,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, we know each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard some of you know actually know each other. I've heard, I have heard that. Well, Joe, thank you so much. And thanks for always taking the time with us to talk about what's happening in District 202.
All right. Anytime, let me know.